Well, there are some Sunday mornings where I get up for the message and I realize we've already experienced quite a bit of stuff this morning. We've had a baptism, we've done some singing, some praying, introducing people, and now we need some energy yet for the message. So I'm going to pray for that this morning. And, you know, the prayer that we pray before the message, you know, I was taught it's called the prayer for illumination. For the Holy Spirit to come and help us illuminate or open up the Bible to us. And I agree with that, but sometimes I'm up here praying, just saying, Lord, give me strength, because I'm already tired. Maybe some of you are. Like, how are we going to get through the next half an hour together with some energy and vigor? So that's what I want to pray about this morning, not kind of hopefully just a religious prayer, but Lord, we really need you to come and help us this morning, especially with this morning's topic. So let me pray for me and for all of us this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for this service this morning and all that's happened. And we're so thankful that you do not leave us alone, but you come to us when we gather in your name, Lord Jesus. And we want to ask, O Lord, that you would not just be kind of a thought or a theory, but on Sunday mornings, as during other parts of the week, you would be really real to us. You'd be tangible to us. You would be, as it were, sitting beside us by your Spirit inside of us. And Lord, I pray this morning, especially for this topic and this conversation and the things we'll talk about this morning, you would come with much grace, much help for me and for all of us. And Lord, it would not be just another message, another talk, another sermon, but it would be the living Christ here among us. You speak to us, Lord. You speak to us, Lord Jesus. Your voice, we pray in your name. Amen. Now we're going to read this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, it's in the New Testament. In case you're struggling where to find it, it's about two-thirds of the way through the Bible. One of the accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus. I commend the Gospel of John to you. It's a great gospel. And we're going to read 14 verses from the beginning of the Gospel of John. I'm going to focus on the final phrase of verse 14. I'm going to connect with a few other stories in the Gospel of John. And I'm doing all of this morning to give some context or some introductory comments as we get ready for upcoming 5 Sunday evening series on the important topic of human sexuality. So the graphic is on the screen. Maybe a little small to read it, but the information is the same thing as in your bulletins. And so the times, locations, the weekly topics are there. And this morning I'm trying to give a little bit of a context for this conversation we're going to start tonight. And of course I'm going to invite you to join us for these 5 Sunday evenings, but I feel that I need to say something before we start. I'm really thankful for the title of these conversations. I don't know if you can read that. Following Jesus with our bodies, which I just love, because more and more I'm convinced that the Christian faith is not just for our spirits, our souls, our interior life, but it's very much for the whole person, for our bodies and our souls. The Christian faith is a very earthy, very, very earthy or earthly kind of perspective on the world. The Christian faith does not disdain the human body. In fact, we elevate the human body because of God as creator, but also Jesus as redeemer. Now, I can anticipate this morning that if I mention the term human sexuality, or we're going to spend 5 Sunday nights with other churches in the Burnaby area talking about this, I can imagine someone saying, why are we doing this? Don't we all know what the Bible teaches about these things? Or I can imagine someone saying, I ain't listening, I don't want to hear anything about this topic. Or I can imagine someone saying, this is going to get awkward real fast. Or someone saying, how can we trust the church, anyone in the church, any leader in the church to talk honestly about this topic, because the church has done so much wrong to people in the past, in the present, and the church is so biased on this topic. Or someone saying, why can't we just accept everybody the way they think, the way they act, whatever they do, and let's just try and accept each other and kind of just keep living together as people in the same culture. And I recognize all of that. I'm not going to respond to all of that this morning. But even with all of those responses I can imagine, I'm still thankful we're going to have this conversation. Again, I want to invite you to join us. I've in my pastor's blog this past week, I put down seven reasons why we should be doing this. The only one I'll mention this morning is this topic is way too important, not just in our culture, but all the time. So it deserves discussion, talking, thinking, teaching on this topic from a Christian biblical perspective. So tonight, 7 o'clock, New West Christian Reformed Church on 13th Avenue here in Burnaby. Again, please join us. For this morning, as we get into this topic in a few moments, maybe you're wondering, and certainly I'm wondering, who am I to be talking about this? There are a number of people more qualified than I am, but I do this because of my role here at Nelson Avenue. I think I need to say something about this. I realize the potential minefield I'm walking into. There are at least two topics where when a pastor says anything about them on a Sunday morning, I'm almost guaranteed to offend someone. Money and sex, right? So I recognize someone's going to get offended this morning or upset. I still got to say something. And especially early on in the message, I want to be fair to the culture around us. So I don't know if we can do it this morning during the message. I know sometimes that happens. Someone will blurt something out. That's wrong. But if you feel like I'm being unfair, I do want you to talk to me afterwards and say, that's not quite right. Like the way you said that, the way you kind of put that together, that's not really going on in our culture. That should be said differently. I do want to be fair this morning. So if you sense, hey, you're not being fair to other people, other perspectives, please do talk to me. But Dale, if you'd come and read John 1, verses 1 to 14.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now this morning I'm just beginning with the observation, at least from my perspective, that the world has changed. So I'm born in 1968 and 51 years old. And it feels to me, when I think back to my childhood and even my growing up years as a youth or a college student, the world has changed. And by that, I don't mean that the human heart has changed. I don't believe the human heart really changes all that much. I think people are people, even from different cultures. Our needs, our hopes, our desires, our longings remain basically the same from generation to generation. And even in the midst of amazing evidences of goodness in the world, it feels like our world is still dominated what I would call the big three: power, sex, and money. I dabble a little bit in the history, and it seems like every, whatever, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, it's always power, sex, and money. And the evils of greed, lust, gluttony, and deceit are always with us. So those things have not changed. But it feels like the world or the culture that I live in has changed. A lot has shifted, which is not necessarily bad. I'm not saying it's all bad, but I just feel like I'm in a different world than I was when I was growing up. People think differently these days, especially in the area of human sexuality. The assumptions are different. The thinking is different. Ideas promoted in our culture are different. They weren't there, as far as I remember, 30 or 40 years ago. So, for example, marriage feels different. When Canada legalized same-sex marriage in 2005 and redefined marriage for its citizens, there was a shift going on. Right? That had not happened before in our country. Something new, something different. And some people look back on that, and that was like a huge moment in Canadian culture. And I recognize it was a big moment, a big shift that happened. But I think there are other shifts that have happened during the same time and certainly since then that are as big or even bigger than that decision. That decision, I think, has been part of a larger change going on, especially as people think about what it means to be a man or a woman, right? Male or female, a boy or a girl. And it seems like these days people are less able or less willing to talk about the differences or to even try and define human beings as male or female. And our understanding, or maybe lack of being able to define those things, is certainly connected with our views or the views in culture about gender and sex. And this is something I've had to kind of learn recently. I assumed when I was younger, my sex was my gender. I didn't even in my mind distinguish those two things, right? So my sex, my body was male, therefore I was a male. If your sex or body was female, your gender was female. Gender and sex were just joined together, but in these days, in our culture, my understanding is those things are not necessarily joined together anymore. You could have one sex, be of one sex, but your gender could be quite different, some people would say. And so, of course, that means I could be in a male body, but have a female gender. Be in a female body, have a male gender. And if I'm in a male body, and through experiences and thinking, I'm not male in my gender, I'm actually female in my gender, I may want to transition. I might want to change. I want to make sure other people would know that you might see me and think I'm male, but really I'm female. So I might transition my clothing or my name or both, and even transition my body. And it seems like in our culture, a lot of people would say that is good. Go ahead. And then I come back to thinking about marriage or intimate relationships, and it feels like, And maybe we're aware of this. Maybe it's not very prominent yet in our society, but it feels like more and more things are up for grabs. Not just the traditional definition of marriage, one man, one woman, is passé, but even the 2005 definition, just two people together, seems to be on the way out. Right? So I hear and read a little bit about multiple people, multiple partners, whether in marriage or intimate relationships, not polygamy, but polyamory. So more than two, sometimes three, four, or more people married together, wanting to be married together, in intimate relationship together, more than one partner, as long as everyone says it's okay, everyone in that relationship, then that also is becoming part of our culture. This past week, someone shared with me a document that comes from a local school board, and it was just listing all the different terms and names that are being used these days, that terms and names I'm trying to still figure out exactly what they all refer to. Just a quick sampling, and there are more, I realize, but certainly gay and lesbian, queer, bisexual, asexual, intersexual, non-binary, bigender, pangender, gender fluid, agender, and the list goes on and on and on. And I'm not listing those names and those terms to make us feel awkward or to ridicule this terminology. I'm just trying to name the reality that I assume most of us, all of us, maybe in some ways realize is out there in our society. And for me, it's important to do this. Even though maybe we're all aware of it, it's important, at least for me as a pastor, to name it out loud and to have spent a little bit of time this past week, very introductory. I'm no expert on these things at all, but just to try and make a few connections. Because as I think about what's going on in our culture, and again, you might say, that's not quite right, Pastor Yo, but I would say what it feels like is, the message basically is, you can be whoever you want to be, right? No one defines you, not your parents certainly, not others, not your culture, your tradition, your ethnicity, or even your own body, or certainly not God himself. No one defines who you are. You can make yourself whoever you want to be. And the boundaries in all kinds of areas of what it means to be what I would consider a human, all those boundaries seem to be coming down. There seem to be no more boundaries anymore. And from my perspective, this has happened so fast, it feels like. The culture, the thinking, the language people are using, certainly the curriculum in schools, and even, you know, younger children and younger people making life-altering decisions at a very young age about their gender and their sex. And one of the things I feel like, just in some ways screaming and yelling, is, I need help! I need help. My mind, my brain is spinning. I'm trying to keep up. I'm desperate for help in this area. And one of the things I'm doing in my desperation is I'm looking and thinking about the Bible. Like, if the Bible is meant to be the source of authority for our church community, then where do I go in the Bible, not just to answer these questions or these issues or these topics, but I'm really eager, where do I go in the Bible to find that perspective I need when all these things keep coming at me? Like, how do I approach all of this? It feels like so different thinking on human sexuality. So I want some passages, some verses I can go to. But what I'm really longing for these days is that overall perspective. Like, how do I feel and think about all these things? And I assume it's not just me, but other leaders in the church, staff, elders, deacons, also are longing for this. Help for us. I don't want to be confused. I don't want to feel rudderless in this society. I don't want to be walking around in the fog. So how should we be thinking? What should be our overall approach to this perspective, these ideas, this thinking, and people we meet who will have this kind of perspective in their minds? They will believe this very strongly. Now, it's possible that some of us this morning are saying, it's all okay to me, right? I don't have any trouble with the things you're talking about. I don't have a trouble with people transitioning their sex or just, you know, they were maybe born with a certain sex and becoming a different, and then they realize that they're a different gender. I don't have any problems with these kinds of concepts. In fact, I embrace them all. That might be true for you. But this morning, I'm wondering what happens when I have some questions, or some of us might have some questions about this, and we're wondering how do we engage people? How do we have conversations with people? How do we really, enter into people's lives who might think quite differently than some of us might on these things? So this morning I'm turning to John chapter 1 to give me some sense of an approach. Now, John 1 is typically a passage we read during the Christmas season. It might feel a little bit odd to read it this morning. But for me, there was a phrase in John 1, the end of verse 14, that really helps me. So this passage tells us Jesus is the Word, right? He's coming with the Word from God. He is the one through whom all things were made. He is the one in whom is light. He became flesh. And at the very end of John 1:14, we hear this amazing description that Jesus is the one who is full of both grace and truth. So he's overflowing. He's full of grace and truth. But it's not a kind of grace and truth that sometimes we have in our lives, right? Where it might be a little bit of grace and a lot of truth. Or a lot of grace and a little bit of truth. Right? Jesus comes full of grace and truth together at the same time. And it makes me think about last week's service, because I don't know if you remember that the opening song we sang was the song called The Lion and the Lamb. And I was trying to say, this is what we believe about Jesus. He's able to be lion, if you can picture that, a lion and a lamb at the same time. Right now, typically lions would eat lambs, right? He is lion and lamb at the same time. He is strong, and he is perfect sacrifice at the same time. Or we might say he is kindness and conviction at the same time. Or he is perfect love and perfect justice at the same time. And here the description is John 1:14. He is perfect grace and perfect truth at the same time. And you want these two things together at the same time, because if we only have truth, which sometimes as a church we want so desperately, we want people to know the truth, but there's no grace, truth without grace is very mean. It can get very mean, very ugly. But grace without truth, as the slide says, is meaningless. So Jesus comes full of both grace and truth. And I believe the character of Jesus is meant to be our calling as a church community. As individuals, but also as people together, to do our best, God helping us, to be grace and truth at the same time to a friend, right? To a coworker, as parents with our children, as a member of the church community, but also in this area of human sexuality, which is so tough for us because all of us lean one way or the other. Some of us are really great with grace and mercy and compassion, and others of us are really great with truth. You got to know the truth. And sometimes, depending who we're with, we sometimes tilt one way or the other. But this morning, the calling is for us to be both, following the pattern of Jesus. And I get this because of John 1:14, but also a couple of stories from the Gospel of John that I think so amazingly illustrate this. So the first example is John chapter 8. It's a story maybe you know, maybe you've heard it or read it. It's this amazing story. Jesus is there, religious leaders bring a woman to him. The Bible says she was caught in the act of adultery. Now, people have pointed out, why just the woman? If she's caught in the act of adultery, where is, presumably, the male partner? Why just the woman was brought to Jesus? Well, that's a very good question. So Jesus, the Bible says, he's writing on the ground. No one knows what he's writing. So they bring this woman to him, and basically, she's caught in the act of adultery. Jesus, give us the sentence, right? And he says, amazingly, if you've not sinned, you throw the first stone. He goes back to writing on the ground. And I think he knows what's happening. But eventually he asks the woman who's there, is no one left? I think he's heard them leaving, right? But is no one left? Has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, sir. And then he says, and we should be shocked that he says this, he says that I don't condemn you either. Now, that should be shocking to us because the Old Testament told us if someone's caught in the act of adultery, you kill them. So for Jesus to say, I do not condemn you, is amazing. It's amazing grace. So perfect grace, I don't condemn you. And then he says the final line of the story is, go and sin no more. Or go and leave your life of sin. And I'm getting shivers just thinking about how Jesus so masterfully puts grace and truth together. This is amazing. Another story is from John chapter 4. Jesus speaking with another woman. Really revolutionary, actually. He's talking to a woman at a well in the heat of the day. She's a woman. So in that culture, typically, men and women aren't talking together in the heat of the day in public, right? They don't typically do that. She's Samaritan. He's Jewish. They're supposed to hate each other. And he knows she's had 5 husbands, and the man she's living with is not her husband. Now, even in our culture, that's a lot of men in her life, right? 6 men. That's a lot of relationship, a lot of heartache, a lot of decisions made, probably a lot of being misused by men, right? The grace that Jesus gives her is amazing. He goes on for quite a while talking to her. And we have to be, I think, amazed again. He's talking with her. He's not running away from her. He's not avoiding her. He's not giving her the cold shoulder. He's not trying to slip in some moral teachings here and there. He's just engaging her. She's asking some questions. So that's the amazing grace as he's talking to this woman. And then, as he's talking with her, he talks about her relationships. And really, I'm just summarizing here, but he says, your soul is thirsty. You are restless. And you will find rest for your soul if you come to me. Not in a sexual relationship, but if you come to me as me, the living water, you're going to find rest for all your running around with these men. And again, for me, amazing how Jesus talking, very gracious, answering her questions, but also leading her to himself. Grace and truth put together. So this morning, as I think about these stories and John 1:14, I think truth needs to be there. We desperately need truth as a church community, and I anticipate in our 5 evenings together starting tonight, we're going to be engaging some of the biblical truth for us. We need truth about what God says in the Bible, what Jesus says to us about sex, gender, our relationship with each other. We also have to get like a big vision, I think, of human sexuality from the Bible. But before we can have that for other people, we need to hear it for ourselves. This will be the big challenge for us as a church. not conversations, first of all, for others, people out there, but can we hear Jesus talking to us? If you really listen to Jesus, I don't think there'd be anybody in this room that wouldn't hear something convicting, something he calls us to, even in the area of sexuality, that we say, boy, I need to hear that for myself. I do recognize that for many people, even the word truth, if you hear the word truth, I think a lot of negative connotations come in people's minds. I want to say this morning that truth is not meant to be a hammer in our hands. Truth is not there to hit people, but truth is meant to help people. Truth not as a hammer, but as a cup of cold water to the thirsty, or some warm bread for the hungry, or truth as that key that frees people, truth as attractive and beautiful and the source of life. But I also want to spend time this morning, just the last few moments here, the truth, but also I think desperately we need to hear the grace. And for me, it's amazing. Jesus is not full of truth and grace. I think it's very significant. It's not truth and grace. It's grace and truth. And the two examples I showed you, I think he was always leading with grace. Grace is always first. In their lives and in our lives, the grace comes, and in the midst of grace comes the truth. So I'm going to suggest just three ways that we can be a church community that leads with grace in all kinds of situations, but also in this area of human sexuality. So I'm going to suggest that one way we do that is by acknowledging the ways the church has not always done things well in this topic, in this theme. How the church has hurt people, how the church has been too focused around the perfect family. Right? If you're a mom and a dad with 2.4 kids, come on in. This church is for you. We're family oriented. Oh, you just have a mom, just have a dad? You got more kids, less? Well, you don't really fit? We're going to try and find a place for you, but maybe this is not. Now, I'm not saying that's true for all of us, but there are churches, there have been churches, at least the stereotype has been, churches are for nice families that look like nice families. And people who aren't that or want to be that but aren't that yet or have no idea what this is all about, they have a tough time, and we have to recognize that. We have to recognize the church's unwillingness to talk about these things or to acknowledge sexual brokenness also in the life of the church. Or sometimes very quick to condemn others. That's wrong. Don't ever do that again. But very, very slow to help others, to understand others. So I think just from a posture of, yeah, we have not always done things well. There are things we could do better. I think by just that kind of confession, humility, honesty, maybe some grace could start flowing between us and others. A second way I suggest is even as appropriate in certain settings to share some of our own stories, to talk about maybe some of our own wrestling, some of our own thoughts and wonderings, maybe some of our own struggles about these things. If you're in a conversation with someone, trusted friends, or even someone to share something with you to say, I've had something like that in my life. And again, not to become explicit, not to say something inappropriate, but at the right time to say, I too am a human being. I think it's one of the most powerful things we as Christian believers can communicate to people. I too am human. Or our church community, too, is full of human beings who have struggles and hurts and have wonderings and things going on in their lives. And we're not always that much different than you. And then thirdly, and most importantly, to lead with grace is always to point people to Jesus. And we should be amazed, if you read through the Gospels, Jesus is always wanting to meet with people. I'm a little hesitant to put the picture of Jesus on the screen because, you know, he, of course, we don't know what he looked like, but I want to have a picture of a person, right? Not the church, but a person on the screen. And hopefully, if we're people who are following Jesus, have tasted the grace of Jesus, we can say something like this in our conversation. Maybe not exactly like this, but we might say, Jesus loved me so much, he accepted me just as I was, just as I am. I didn't have to get all cleaned up and look real nice and all perfect, and then he accepted me. No, my experience of Jesus is he just embraced me as I was. But he loved me so much, he didn't leave me there. Right? This always is grace and this truth coming together. Grace and truth always, not just for others, but also for us. And I'm amazed that Jesus is never afraid of anyone. No matter what their background, no matter what their conviction, he's never afraid to meet with people, engage with people, talk with people. He never avoids people. He's always present for whoever's there. And if you've had the experience of meeting Jesus, you always know he never says, look at this philosophy, look at this institution. He always says, no. Come to me. Come to me. That's always his call, come to me. So this morning, I want to invite us to be a church that is wanting and struggling sometimes and desiring to put grace and truth together for all kinds of people in our lives, but also in this area, this very sensitive, important area of human sexuality. And I'm wondering if we could do that this morning in some small way, to make a commitment this September 15th, 2019, to say on this morning we made a little kind of symbolic commitment to be a church that is striving to follow Jesus, grace and truth always together. So I'm going to invite the worship team up. We're going to sing a couple of songs at the end of the service here. And as they're coming up, I just want to invite us, just, you know, can we together make that kind of commitment to each other and in some sense to the world, to be a grace and truth community, Jesus helping us, Jesus leading us, Jesus showing us, but for the sake of others, to be a grace and truth community for the sake of others, that they might also experience the grace and truth of Jesus. So I'm going to invite us to stand, and I'm going to pray. And if you're able to pray this prayer with me, I'm just going to ask you just whatever you want to do. You know, maybe you're going to put your hand up, maybe you're going to put your little finger up, maybe you're going to tap on your toe, but just some indication, yes, Lord, I also want to be part of a grace and truth community. I also commit myself to striving to do this, Lord, you helping me, whoever I meet, if you're coming tonight to the evening, whoever I meet, whatever ideas I hear tonight, I want to be a grace and truth person to all those I come in contact with. So let me pray, and as I'm praying, if you're listening, if you're able to follow along, if you say, oh yeah, maybe some indication somehow that you're also committing to this. Let's pray together. So Lord Jesus, we're so thankful you've entered our lives with grace and truth. And we ask, O Lord, that we would be able to do that. We want to make some kind of commitment this morning, O Lord, to be a grace and truth people together. So help us do that, Lord Jesus. Just little Nelson Avenue in the large Vancouver area, in this large world, help us to be a grace and truth people together. Individually, but also as a church community, finding ways that we would lead with grace. And Lord, as you help us also bring truth, not just into other people's lives, but also into our lives, wherever we need to hear that, Lord, this morning for us. Bring your grace, and then bring your truth to people who are sometimes confused about who we are, wondering who we are, wondering what to think about what's going on in the culture. Maybe we think we know. Lord, keep bringing your truth into our lives. Open us up to your grace. Open us up to your truth. And then may we be people who go out with that into the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.